Welcome back, my friends. Hour number two, 9:06 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. That's right. You're listening to KMOX is at your service. My name is Greg Damon, and we're going to switch it up a little bit. We're going to switch gears. We're going to talk a little football, one of my favorite things to talk about it. I got my own opinions, but you know what? I'm not the experts here. I got two great experts with us here. Coach Jason Berniak from Missouri Baptist, head football coach, and also head football coach at MICDS, Fred Bouchard, has joined us on the program. First off, Jason, thanks for coming down and hanging out with us in the studio.
Yeah, it's awesome to be here. Thanks for having me.
And Coach Bouchard joins us by phone. Coach?
Hey, great to be here, Greg.
Yes, absolutely. Love talking football with you guys. As I told Coach B in the break, it's great for me because I just ask a question, I'll get up, and I'll come back at the end of the hour, and you guys will just run the whole show for me.
Yeah, that's about right. You know, I know it's my favorite topic, so I can talk about it all day, too.
That's right. That's right. Well, let's talk a little about the programs at MoBAP. You got four games left. All four are conference games. You're sitting at 4-2 and 2-1 in the conference.
Yeah, we've been off to the best start that we've had in our program's history. You know, we had celebrated our 10-year celebration this year, so that was exciting. We had a lot of alumni back and got a chance to kind of go down memory lane a little bit there. But, we started off, played a really good team out of Tennessee to start the season, ended up losing by 7 points, and then went on a four-game win streak. Lost this past weekend to number 8 Benedictine out of Kansas. But the guys, we've got a lot of talent. We've got a lot of young guys. We get a lot of guys back. That's what's pretty exciting. But we got a great group of guys. They're just working hard, playing together. And we're sitting at 4-2 and got a chance to do something really special this year.
Yeah, obviously you still have more time before the playoffs, but really all four conference games, you could really make a run right here.
Yeah, you know, we have to win out and then see what happens. When you get into the playoffs at our level, you've got to be ranked, in the top 20 or so. They've now increased. They used to take 16 teams. Now they take 20. It's still a challenge at our level, but you never know. You never know what happens. I think if we go out and take care of our business and handle what we can, then you let the rest of it play itself out. But, you know, if we were able to win out and, finish it with two losses, you know, that would be a fantastic year for us and definitely something that I think would really launch us into our next 10 years.
Yeah, and not only that, but that's really good for recruiting as well.
Huge. You know, I think that's one of the big things that we've got to do and that we just continue to talk about is how to get those wins and how to change the dynamic, you know, with our new administration or new athletic director that we got. He's given us some more scholarship money. The administration has backed him on that. That helped us bring in a really good class of freshmen this year. And, and we just got to keep stacking that. But there's no doubt winning games is the ultimate recruiter.
Well, Coach Bouchard, MICDS, one game left Friday night, Mexico, Missouri. You're 6-2 and 4-1 in the district.
Yeah. First off, congratulations, Coach Berniak. I kind of watch you from a distance and what a great start to your year. You do got an MICDS kid playing for you, so we're fired up about Dorian being over there. And anyway, great job. Great start to the year.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, you know what? We got one more regular season game in the whole state of Missouri, and then we start our district play, kind of that first round, starting next week. So it just goes so fast, doesn't it? It feels like we were kicking off the home open, the on the road, week one, just a few weeks ago, and now we're at week 9, and we just got to spend time. We have one kind of annual dinner with our seniors, and this was tonight here, just kind of wrapped it up here about 30 minutes ago, and just the reminder, like, man, it's coming to a close pretty quickly, and so it was kind of a chance to reflect on their years in the program, and it was fun to hear them tell funny stories about things, and it just goes so fast, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it sure does. So, Coach Bouchard, let's talk a little about. I don't want to overlook the next game, but let's talk a little about the playoffs. How do you prepare everybody for the end of a season and going into the playoffs?
Well, we hope it's been an accumulation of our season. And so we're kind of stacking weeks on weeks on weeks, and hopefully we're playing our cleanest football, our best football. And we really just did play our best football game on Friday against St. Dominic. We think St. Dominic's a really well-respected program and a really good program. They actually beat us a year ago, and, man, we played really well. And I know Coach was like, man, we just – you know, we couldn't get things going. I'm like, well, Coach, I got to tell you, that was our best performance. So, you know, it's always funny when you get to tell a coach that you don't know if it's a good thing to say to them or a bad thing. But I wanted to know, you do really have a good team, but you just saw, you know, a really good version of our team. And that doesn't happen every week. You know, sometimes we go out and you know, we have a slow start, or this part of our, you know, phase of our game may not be really clean. So we hope it's accumulated to this point, and that we're clicking on offense and defense and special teams. And, you know, we're pretty certain that our home opener, just the way the districts rank, and that there's kind of a gap between, you know, 1 and 2 and then 3 and 4, and we're pretty certain who our opponent's going to be week 10, I guess, of the first round of the playoffs. So, you know, we can kind of start, you know, after this week, after we play week 9, you know, I try to really emphasize, don't look ahead, don't look ahead. You get the one in front of you, you got to pay attention to the most. And so we'll worry about week 10 here Saturday morning when we start our preparation.
Well, Coach B, obviously you're about in the middle of your season, little over the middle, but how do you keep your guys motivated for the rest of the season? I mean, obviously on game day, it's, you don't have to keep them motivated, but during the week, that, you know, that grind, that every day going out and practicing for the linemen, you're just hitting each other, and receivers are just catching balls, and quarterbacks are just throwing constantly. How do you keep those guys motivated?
Yeah, it's a challenge for sure. You know, I think it's a big challenge for our freshmen too, because, you know, as Coach Bouchard and you guys were just mentioning, you know, as a high school player, they're used to wrapping their season up, you know, and maybe going into playoffs or being done. And here we've got 4 more weeks. So, you know, making sure that they're staying healthy. I think one of the things that we really try to do as we get to this point is we start backing off a little bit. You know, we're not practicing as long. Try to mix things up, mix our practice schedule up, so it doesn't get monotonous on them. You know, do some things where we do some scrimmage type good on good stuff, so that you know, they stay mentally involved. You know, that it's not just becoming a chore to be there. We want to keep it fun. We want to keep it you know, interesting. And I think one of the things that we as coaches do all too often is we get into kind of a rhythm where it's like, hey, we're going to this period, and it, you just set your schedule and roll. But one of the things we try to do is mix it up a little bit. We do some sudden change drills where they've got to think on their feet and get moving. We do some drills where, you know, the ones are going against the ones, so they're not always seeing a scout team guy. But it is a challenge. You know, I think winning obviously helps that, you know, when you're still playing for something versus when, you know, you're not having the best record. But every team's different, and, you know, that's one of the things that we try to do with our guys, just keep mixing it up and keep it fun.
Yeah, you definitely want them firing on all cylinders at the end of the season when, you know, you get ready to get into playoffs.
Yeah, and you know, I think the biggest thing is keeping them healthy too. You know, that you get those bumps and bruises, they start stacking up on them, and, you know, your first team guys, they're playing a lot of plays, and they're, you know, they're getting a lot in practice, they're getting a lot in the game, and you know, just trying to figure out different ways. Sometimes, you know, we kind of tease the older guys, but we kind of put them on a veteran schedule where they're maybe not taking as many reps, but they're taking more mental reps. And, you know, I think the biggest thing that we have to do is make sure come Saturday that they're ready to go, and that they're, you know, they know the game plan, but they're physically ready to go from, you know, just being healthy and ready to go out and play a full 60-minute game.
I got to tell you, you know, I'm an old-school guy. So for me, I think they should go out every day, 7 days a week, practice 5 hours, and they should just hit constantly, back. That's what they should do.
Yeah, but it's hard to keep them motivated doing that.
But in today's world, it's a lot different. You know, you kind of mentioned, Coach B, about backing down a little bit. I'll get Coach Bouchard's take first. What do you do during the season? You know, you've started basically right after school gets out, been going all summer long into the season. What do you do? Do you start backing down as well, or are you on my old school schedule, Coach?
Probably somewhere in between. I think there is, you know, here in a week, we will go shells every day. And today was our last full pad practice, unless I change my mind. Because I get aggravated with something. And then I may say, wait a second, we go back to full pads next week. And then we shells on day three of prep. And day four for us is fine-tuning. It's kind of the pre-game, put on game jersey, kind of run around, just kind of make it feel like we're tapering for the week. So our preparation, we kind of think like we have this really nice four-day schedule that leads into game day, and it's kind of a high school schedule. Coach gets the extra day because he's playing mainly on Saturdays. We do play some Saturdays, but I still try to recognize the four-day week. And so we get that recovery time, and he's right. That's one of the things I've probably learned is that over time is that, you know, pounding kids 5 days a week probably may not get you the outcome you're hoping for. So tapering them and keeping them hungry and just doing that. We may cut two of those practices out, maybe 15 minutes, but we just feel like there's also work we got to get done. And, you know, we don't want to leave our fundamentals behind. You know, I've talked about at times to say, boy, maybe we can cut out some individual time. But I feel like this is the kind of time of year where you really draw on your fundamentals really a lot. So we want to make sure we keep doing that. So there's a little old school part of me, but I do got to agree a lot with what Coach Berniak said about if the veterans can handle their business, you know, maybe they can step back from the intensity of what practice brings and kind of save that for game day.
Well, guys, excuse me, guys, I got to do a little bit of business here. Hang with me a few more minutes, please.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right. Perfect. Folks, this is KMOX is at your service. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking football here on the program. Coach Jason Berniak from Missouri Baptist and also Coach Fred Bouchard from MICDS are joining me tonight, but we'll be back after these. Welcome back, everyone. 9:22 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. Coming to you from KMOX tonight, it's KMOX's At Your Service. Greg Damon sitting in the big chair, and we're talking a little football tonight with Coach Fred Bouchard from MICDS on the phone and in studio, Coach Jason Berniak from Missouri Baptist, both head football coaches. And again, gentlemen, I can't thank you enough for you guys hanging out with us here talking a little football.
Nothing else I'd rather do. I'm excited.
Yeah, perfect. This is what a great time, this time of the year. Nothing better to talk about than football, right?
That's right. So I want to ask you guys a question. As I said, you know, I'm that old school guy that, you know, thinks they should really, really work hard constantly and not even do school work. They should just play football 24 hours a day. But that's a whole nother one of my issues. But I know some really high schools. Not necessarily colleges, and I'll get your take on that too, Coach B. But they don't even tackle during the week. You mentioned Coach Bouchard about being hungry. You know, they don't even tackle during the week. So their theory is, come game day, you know, they want to hit. They want to be getting out and tackling people. And Coach Bouchard, I'll start with you first.
Well, that's not us. I still believe I think we tackle every day. Like, we try to do one drill. And now, it doesn't mean it's full-fledged, slobber knocker kind of just absolutely tearing into one another. A lot of times, it's just the fundamental movement of planting the right foot or going through, you know, a rugby tackling station where they're tracking the back hip or even the, you know, a shimmy tackling station where they are breaking down and being able to react to a cut. So we just have different drills that we try to instill into our guys, and it doesn't mean we're having to strike, but they're working the fundamentals of tackling every day because we know that at the end of the day, this is a blocking and tackling game. And if you don't tackle well, or if your kids aren't averse in that very well, and you haven't given them the tools to that, and then your team goes out on Friday and doesn't tackle well, I think you as a coach, you know, bear responsibility for that. So, you know, if my team doesn't tackle well, I've really got to look in the mirror and say, what kind of time did we invest in it to make it work? Now, Coach Berniak, he gets kind of older kids who have gone through a lot of that training. He may not have to do that quite as much. And I think in the NFL, by the way, I think sometimes in the NFL, the lack of tackling is because they may not be investing as much time striking one another and actually working on their tackling, because there's some places in the NFL where the tackling really is not very good.
Coach B?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with him. You know, we tackle every day as well. I think the real, when you really drill down to it, is what is your definition of a tackle? Because we don't do anything where we're taking the guy to the ground. You know, we are, like Coach said, we're going through the mechanics of it. We have different tempos for every drill. So we have a tag tempo drill. We have a thud tempo drill, you know, and that's really where we're living a lot of our time, spending a lot of our time in that. And the main thing is, you know, we don't want to be dragging guys to the ground constantly. And so that's where, you know, we'll do most of our stuff as thud tackle, which means that you're going to come up full speed and you're going to hit. You're just not completing the tackle to the ground. You know, we do a lot of that because, you know, we do a little bit of tag tempo where it's like two-hand touch. And really, when we're doing that, we're trying to enforce getting in a good position, but just taking the contacts off of them. But what we found early in the year is, to Coach's point, is we were doing a little bit more tag tempo in practice to keep them fresh. But when we got to Saturday, we weren't tackling as well. So we had to go back and do more thud, where we were actually getting there, wrapping up and kind of doing the mechanics. But we don't do rarely any full tackle to the ground, just because of the bumps and bruises that are added onto that portion.
You don't want to get somebody hurt, that's for sure.
Exactly. So it's kind of finding that fine line of how do you practice it, but then keep guys healthy, and it's a challenge.
Yeah, we're talking a little bit about tackling, but tackling has really changed over the years with a lot more rugby-style tackling. You know, back, I'm old, yeah. So, you know, back when I did it, it's like, hey, you're going to put your head in front of them so they stop, and you're going to wrap up and just take them down. It's really not that way anymore. It's kind of like a big change where you really want to keep your head up and really out of the play.
Yeah, and, you know, we went to some of that. You know, the rugby style, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago started with Pete Carroll, and then they started calling it hawk tackling because he was at the Seahawks at the time. And we did that for a little while, and there was a lot of swing to it, and it sounds like Coach Bouchard does it. We never really got very good at it. I felt like guys were diving at the legs and missing. So we're kind of old school on it. You know, we're going to put our shoulder in and keep our eye. We teach keeping our eyes up, see what we hit and all those little things, but we're kind of old school in how we tackle. We're going to put our shoulder in there, drive our feet and finish the tackle. What I found was I wasn't very good at teaching it, and we had a bunch of missed tackles.
Coach Bouchard?
You know what, we do use hawk tackling, but we also teach a profile tackle where we're, you know, planting the inside foot, putting the head across. It is the shoulder. And then we do a lot of what we call shimmy tackling, where you're just breaking down on a runner and you're able to, you know, break down and throw your hands and keep on your feet. I'm very much with Coach. We don't go to the ground very often. The ground is not forgiving. It's the earth, and it hurts. And it that's one of the things, like bodies have some give to it, but the ground may not. And so too many hits to the ground will lead to not having players available on Fridays and Saturdays. So I think Coach B's got an excellent point there. And then, you know what, we brought our head wrestling coach to practice last week and said, all right, let's work on single legs and double legs. Because I've coached a lot of wrestlers in my past, and they all were good tacklers. They all understood how to be in that low position and how to be comfortable. It was pretty interesting. The first kid that he gave an example to, I was like, oh, guys, let's be a little bit careful. He was taking him to the ground. So, but we'll try to use any tool in the toolbox to say, you know, how do we get our hands around and get somebody to the ground and make sure that, you know, we're just not giving giving teams opportunities for additional yards after contact.
Well, you know, Greg, one of the things we did, we do with our defensive line too, because you know, you, like Coach said, you have the ground that's really unforgiving, and most of the time when we're tackling, we're doing it by position. So the D line is tackling D line, you know, just so that you know, they're not tackling a DB or something like that. But what we've gone to is we get a huge crash pad out there. You know, we have a 4 foot by 8 foot, you know, crash pad, and they tackle onto that so that they can do the full movement of guys to the ground, but they're not falling 300 pounds on each other onto the, you know, onto the ground. And that's helped out a lot too.
Well, that's my next question. I was going to ask you guys, you know, what do you do with the linemen? Because other than Eaton, they want to hit. So how do you keep them together? Because I love the linemen. You know, most of them are big, nasty, and all they want to do is just make sure that they just destroy the other guy across the line from them. And how do you keep them from being, I guess, I don't want to say calm during the week, but how do you keep them in check during the week?
Well, you know, one of the ways is using the crash pad so they can get some tackle work in as well. But then what we do is we're working with our offensive and defensive line a lot of like one-on-one drills. We're working a lot of, you know, two-on-two. So they're working stunts and games. So the offensive line is working how to pass things off. You know, I know Coach Coe does a great job with our defensive line, and they spend a lot of time just down there you know, not really moving, but working different hand movements and how to defeat pass, you know, how to pass rush, how to take on different run blocks in a very controlled setting to where we're really focusing on the feet and the hands. And the one unique thing with the offensive and defensive line is they get more individual time than almost anybody else out on the field because yep. they're not involved in special teams. You know, they're not involved in 7-on-7. So they get a lot of individual work. So you really have to be careful of how much you're really running them, but it gives them a lot of time to really break things down and get good at the details.
Come on, offensive linemen don't run. You know that.
They're not going to. They're not going to. So but you have to do that in a really controlled setting with them and but they get a lot of individual work, which is great.
Coach Bouchard?
Yeah, we're probably going to go really good against really good. So we're fortunate that we have a couple Division I caliber linemen, and we tell them, like, you got to be careful with one another because we need both of you guys or all four of you guys, you know, on game day. So make sure that, you know, the top end kids know that they're going to go up against, you know, in our case, Luke Allgaier, who's going to Iowa, has to tackle a Miles Coleman who's a junior who has Division I offers. And so those are two 300-pound guys that I know, I got to bring it enough to not embarrass myself, but I got to be careful not to, because we really need that other guy available.
Right, exactly.
And so we talk about, you know, making sure we're being smart when we are doing best against best and when they're seeing each other. That, and I agree with Coach, like, they get, I really feel like our offensive and defensive lines have the ability to show the most progress over the course of a year because they get all that individual time. You know, I special teams and 7-on-7, and then they get the individual time that the other players get during indie time. So, you know, they end up having, you know, 3 or 4, maybe 5 different individual sessions, and our sessions are broke up by 7-minute segments. So that's a pretty good chunk of time where they're able to work their craft, and they can't just strike each other hard for 35 minutes and do that. Like that would lead to us not having some of our best players available. So we want to make sure we're smart about that.
Absolutely. Fellas, I got to do some more business. Stick around some more, please.
Absolutely.
All right. Hang on 1 second. Folks, you're listening to KMOX is at your service. We got to do some business, but we'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. 9:39 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. You're listening to KMOX's At Your Service, talking a little football with Coach Bernie Yak. He is the head coach over at Missouri Baptist University, and also Coach Fred Bouchard from MICDS. He's the head football coach there. Again, fellas, I can't thank you enough for hanging out with us late at night here on a Tuesday talking football, because we could just talk to midnight. It'd be okay with me.
I'd be fine with it. I don't think they would be.
There you go.
Exactly, exactly. Well, anyway, let's. One of the questions that I wanted to ask, and Coach B, I'll start with you first, is how coaching has changed. You know, as I said earlier, I'm that old school guy. When I played football, it's like grind, 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 hit somebody, hit somebody, hit somebody. How has coaching changed with the younger generation today, and how it's evolved?
Well, it's changed a lot, you know, at the college level especially. You take into consideration here in the last couple of years the transfer portal, NIL situations. So, you know, keeping the players satisfied, keeping them happy, keeping them engaged in your program is more important than ever. So, you know, you can't grind them like you used to. You know, they'll up and leave. They'll go, and it's no fun. They're either going to quit or they're going to leave. So it
hasn't affected me at all. So
yeah, well, I mean, no doubt. I mean, I think you look back, we were talking about this the other day, is, you know, 15, 20 years ago, if a guy transferred, he would have to transfer down. We were talking about it as a staff, in fact, with Brandon Jacobs when he left Auburn and went down to Southern Illinois Carbondale and played for Jerry Kill. Well, at that time, the only way he could not skip a year was to transfer down. Well, now you can transfer anywhere and not sit out. So, you know, I think the players understand they have more voice, they have more say-so. And some of that's good, some of it's bad. But you look at how film has changed, film exchange, you know, whether, you know, you're doing it on a VHS and now it's on Huddle. You can pull it up, you can sort it instantly in a thousand different ways. So there's a lot of changes. You know, I think what we're talking about is just player health, you know, the concussion aspect and how that has changed things. And you got to make sure, you know, if a kid gets a concussion, he's out two and a half weeks probably, even though it's a five-step progress. You know, it might be 2 weeks for him. So you got to protect these guys. You need them on Saturdays, and you got to find ways to get them there.
I'm sure that it also has a lot of coaching, you know, their mental health as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, coming out of COVID and all the things that these guys, students nowadays deal with in general, like the mental health aspect of young people in general has changed. So, and that's no different with our players, you know, and we have guys from all different walks of life and, you know, they're losing family members. They're, you know, something tragic happens and you got to be there for them in that sense. And, you know, just really make sure that you treat them as people first and athletes second.
Coach Bouchard?
Yeah, you know, I think in some ways they're still the same. I think they yearn discipline. They yearn the camaraderie and the DNA. Like, I don't think we can outrun our DNA, but I think young men and boys still love to kind of go out and do physical things together. And, you know, maybe, you know, a few thousand years ago, that was go hunt and gather and do all that, but they did that as warriors. And now, you know, in a society that's advanced, it's how do we channel this towards something that's maybe a little more positive. And so they join teams and they join, you know, football teams so they can utilize that. And I don't believe like the last 20 years, 30 years, it's changed so dramatically that I still think they yearn for that, and they yearn for some elements of that grind and the investment that it takes and the lessons that come when you really invest in something, that, you know, there is a reward at the end. And the reward is sometimes just the great learning experience and the memories, and that the reward is a lot more intrinsic at high school than it is, you know, I'm earning a bachelor's degree and I'm on scholarship and this is kind of a requirement to do. So, you know, I deal with the 100% fully volunteer walk-on group. and so I agree with Coach wholeheartedly that, you know, it's important to build relationships. And you know, as a coach, your job is sometimes to get something out of a kid that he otherwise couldn't get. Like if a kid's able to perform at a level and I'm not helping them try to get better and better, was I really needed that much? Or did they just take themselves to that level? Like, my job sometimes is to try to get somebody to move to a different level. And that means sometimes you put them in uncomfortable situations to do that. And And I think our kids handle the business. I do think the awareness of mental health, in my time, probably Greg, your time, I think Jason's a little younger than us, but I mean, that's something that just really wasn't talked about a whole lot.
Right.
And I just think it's more aware, and kids have them more, they're just more aware of, hey, I'm feeling off a little bit right now. Like, how do I get myself in it? And I think there's a little bit of balance to say, you know, you still got to kind of work on days you don't feel 100%, don't feel great. And then there's times to say, wait a second, I need to step back and really assess my, you know, where am I in this? And you know, kind of finding a balance of where is that line where it really becomes something that is a mental wellness issue and somebody needs to kind of seek some assistance and help through a really tough patch? Or is it just kind of just life's come at you a lot and there's a lot of stress going on in our school with the academic workload that's demanded of them? You know, I think our kids sometimes feel an academic and then they have a football and then they try to have a little social life, and it's sometimes hard to pull off all three phases of that. So my heart goes out to young kids. Boy, I think I've said this to you before, you know, you put social media and all that comes with that and all the expectations of how everybody's living a grand life because they're putting their best moments forward. And sometimes I think there's a lot of kids feel pressure that why aren't I experiencing all these wonderful things that I'm seeing on social media? And I think there's some challenges to that. So I'm glad it wasn't around in the early 80s. I think a young Fred Bouchard probably would have jumped in and been knee deep into that and probably got himself in a lot of trouble. So I admire our young people that they are juggling a lot of things maybe that I didn't have to juggle, and maybe 15 years ago people weren't juggling.
Nope, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, we get another aspect of that too at the college level is that, you know, they're not there with their parents. So it's not there. Yeah. They're not going home to have that support every night.
Right.
And so we have to figure that out. And sometimes the parents put added pressure on them, you know, because they're not there. And so when you get to that next level of life in general, it puts new stresses on them. And we got to navigate through that too.
All right, fellas, I got to take my last break. Hang with me some more, please. We'll be back after these, my friends. We're talking football here on KMOX. Is at your service. Welcome back, everyone, into the final segment here on KMOX's At Your Service. 9:52 is your time, and we got a couple minutes here towards the end of the show. We're talking a little football. Coach Fred Bouchard from MICDS on the phone with us, and also Coach Jason Berniak from Missouri Baptist University here in studio, hanging out, talking a little football. And again, guys, I tell you what, it just goes so fast. And I got all this stuff written down, questions I want to ask, and it's like, we get about three in, and you just go off on a tangent.
Yeah, it does fly by for sure.
It is the fastest hour.
That's right.
Fastest hour ever.
So I guess I have one question that I want to ask you guys, and I'm sure it drives you both crazy, and we've seen it a lot in the NFL, and it's these kickers that are missing routine field goals and extra points. And Coach B, I'll start with you.
Oh, yeah. The kickers drive me crazy to begin with. You know, they have one job and they're inconsistent with it. You know, it's one of those things. It's a tough job to be a kicker, though, to be honest with you, because you do have one job and you're expected to be perfect all the time. So obviously there's a lot of factors that go into it, distance and wind and all that stuff. But it definitely happens. You know, the NFL's changed what an extra point is. It's a lot further kick, and they go and the uprights are close. So it's definitely not an easy job, but it is an incredibly important job.
Coach Bouchard?
Well, we're blessed at MICDS because our kicker is perfect so far this year. I think he's 6-for-6, and he's made a 53-yarder, and I think someone like a 47, a 44. The shortest one is like 35, and he's perfect on extra points too. So I think sometimes we forget there's a tandem there. There's a long snapper, there's a holder, and the kicker is just part of that execution. But so we're currently blessed, and we have been since I've been at MICDS. Landon Galvin was an all-state kicker when, you know, my first couple of years there, and he's turned over in Malik Orson and Harrison Engel. The last couple of years have been awesome. So We live in a pretty good world there in terms of specifically in front of me. And our JV kicker, Parker Jones, he hit like a 33-yard field goal game in a JV game last night. So I'm tickled with our kickers. I do watch him in the NFL. I really, you know, I was an old football card collector, so I remember back in the day when Mark Malone, you know, when he would hit 65-70% of his kicks, and now that would get him cut in 1 week in the NFL. So I think we've become spoiled by the, you know, Harrison Butkers of the world and some of the ones that are exceptional kickers that rarely miss, even, you know, 58, 60-yard field goals. I mean, how crazy is that? So I think when we're griping about those guys that are that consistent and hitting 90, 92, 93% of their kicks, I just, again, remember back in the day when if you were hitting 75, you were, man, you had the most awesome kicker in the world.
Well, we got about 30 seconds left for Coach B. For folks who want information about MoBap, where can they go?
Yeah, they can follow me on Twitter at MBU Coach B. You can follow us at MBU Football on X, I guess, not Twitter, X or Instagram. But we have our homecoming game this Saturday night, 7 p.m. We're home. Come out to Spartan Field. It'll be a great atmosphere. Play the number 18 team in the country, but they'll be we'll be ready to go, and I'm excited about it.
Coach Bouchard, you got 10 seconds.
All right. Hey, good luck the rest of the way, Coach Berniak, and congratulations on your start. Go get them.
Thanks.
Go get a playoff berth. That'd be awesome.
Same to you.
Thanks, Greg, for having us. Always appreciate it. Great to talk football with you all.
Thank you so much. Well, folks, that's going to end the show. We'll catch you next time.